Dr. Patterson, thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
You are on the board of Physicians for a National Health Program. Can you tell me about that organization and your role?
The organization, Physicians for a National Health Program, has been fighting for over 20 years for a single payer system of payment of universal health care for the United States. We have chapters across the country. The largest chapters, I think, are probably New York and Chicago and maybe California. And I belong to the New York chapter. We are trying to both educate our fellow citizens and to win them over to the idea that if the government provided the payment to doctors and hospitals and nurses and other healthcare professionals for healthcare, and if we took the profit motive then out of healthcare, that would then be a giant step in the direction of healthcare equity, both in terms of racial equity as well as bridging the gap between urban and rural healthcare, because municipal hospitals, private hospitals, hospitals in rural areas would all get the same amount of funding. And as you probably know, municipal hospitals and hospitals in rural areas have nowhere near the funding base that private hospitals have. That would be a giant step towards, as I said, bringing health care equity to the American populace. It's not the entire step, but it would be a giant first step. So that's what we've been fighting for, and to undemonize the notion that if the government is the source of payment, that somehow the quality of healthcare will be less, or you won't be able to see your doctor, or you'll have to wait to have your appendix taken out, that somehow that source of funding then will impact your access and the quality of the healthcare that you'd receive.
And none of those things are actually true, are they?
No, they're not. And when you look at measures of health and healthcare across countries, you'll see that, for instance, our infant mortality, our maternal mortality, our life expectancy is in fact less than many of the industrial countries, actually all of the industrial countries, but even beyond industrial countries, less than, for instance, little Cuba. They have better outcomes than we do.
The organization held a forum, Unequal Treatment, the Unjust Death of Dr. Susan Moore. Can you tell our listeners what prompted this forum?
The death of Dr. Susan Moore for me was like the final straw. So you know, the straw that finally broke the camel's back was no larger than any of the other straws. It's just that its added weight finally was enough to create an avalanche, the same as George Floyd's death, George Floyd's brutal murder in front of everyone. Became the catalyst for, was kind of the final act of just rank, callous inhumanity that people just said, I've had enough. And for me, that was the death of Susan Moore. I'd had enough. And so I said to myself, we have to do something. We have to begin to challenge systemic racism, not just talk about it, but we really have to take steps to begin to challenge systemic racism in medicine. We have to begin to force the regulatory bodies that exist. For instance, the Joint Commissions on Hospital Accreditation. That body exists. It's a federal body that goes around the country and examines hospitals from top to bottom, and then says, you have a right to be open or you don't. And you have a right to be open, but you need to improve this, this, and this. And we will come back and make sure that you have done those improvements. Otherwise, we will withdraw your accreditation and you cannot provide care to people. So I just felt that we needed to begin there to not only hold the individual doctor who may have provided or not provided the adequate care, or the individual nurse who may have turned her back on the patient. Individual responsibility always exists, but it exists within a larger framework that those individuals are working in. And we needed to begin to deal with that larger framework.
You're listening to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine, and I'm speaking with Dr. Mary Louise Patterson from Physicians for a National Health Program, New York Metro Chapter.
I'm a Black woman. I also am a physician, retired now. And this woman was 52 years old with a 19-year-old son. And all she wanted was to be adequately treated. And being a physician, she knew what that required. And yet, being a Black woman, they wouldn't deliver it.
Can you tell me a bit about the forum and what participants heard?
We had a 5-woman panel, 4 of whom were African American, and it was just superb. So they were able to come at this issue both in terms of just going through step by step so the audience could understand what actually happened to Dr. Moore. So we're not just saying she was mistreated or maltreated and just summing it up that way, but actually walking people through what actually happened to her so that they could understand why we were calling this, you know, medical abuse, and frame it in the terms of healthcare delivery and the inequities in healthcare delivery between the private system and the public system. And we have 2 systems that are separate and totally unequal. And then Dr. Kamara Jones, who talked about the racism in medicine in general as a part of racism in the society that we live in, since the delivery of healthcare functions within the society, not outside of it. But people don't often think that there's going to be racism in healthcare because somehow doctors are not going to do that, or they're not going to be racist, or the system is not going to be racist because it's compassion, it's mercy, it's healing the suffering, that somehow that's different than what happens in the rest of society. But obviously that's, you know, not the case. People will hear all of that. And it was delivered in such a compelling fashion that if you walk into the discussion initially not convinced, thinking that this was just an isolated incident, you left that discussion understanding the scope of the problem.
Where can folks learn more about what they can do?
Folks can begin to talk to their doctors. They can begin to write letters, op-ed page letters to their local newspapers. They can call their local radio stations like yours and ask them to cover the issue. They can talk to friends and family and see if people have had incidences of what they consider to be inequitable treatment or racist treatment, and begin to discuss how they think they can handle that. Those are some of the ways that they can plug in. Of course, there are organizations. So if people go to their search engines and they put in racism in medicine, up will pop a number of different options for plugging in to this particular issue. But as patients, I think people can begin to think about the kind of care they get, how they get it, what they're paying for, and whether they think it's adequate. So it's not just racism in healthcare, but it's healthcare in general in this country. If their sense is that it's not what they think it should be or what they would like for it to be, to begin to think about how to make a change.
Dr. Patterson, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Thanks very much, Corinne, for having me. I'm so happy that you were interested in focusing on this particular issue.